Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
how
long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what
joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Hold on just a minute. I've got a technical difficulty. Got to get straightened out here from my broadcast. Having a little problem here with trying to get things established. All right. But good morning. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward this morning, Father. Take this service, because it's yours, not mine. Let him do the speaking, Father, so that the words, Father, are not mine, but yours. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive and be with us throughout this morning. And Father, we thank you for keeping us safe through the night, bringing us into another day. Now, Father, use us in this day to help someone else along the way. Now, Father, Help us do this service in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be dealing here with chapter 19 of Genesis. And we're going to see some about Lot's life. Here in verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold, now my Lord's journey, and I pray you into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall raise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. No, he was there in his house. But to show you just how strong homosexuality can get, and just how they get to the point of not being ashamed. And yet we can see it all around us in our day and time, that they have no shame of it, because they are proclaiming it's just another lifestyle. Plus, they carry signs stating who they are, wanting everyone to know. They're proud of the fact that they are living a lifestyle that is an abomination unto the Lord. All right, here, verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compressed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." They're making a statement of what they want to do. They're saying that we may know them. Now, you see, that word "know," getting to that day and time, meant sexual knowledge. And this is what they was wanting to know about him, because they was wanting him. Now, when they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brother, do not so wickedly." See, Lot knew what they was up to. 8. "Behold now, two daughters which have not known men, let me, I pray, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." He was offering them his daughters because he knew they wouldn't take his daughters. He knew that, because he knew that they were strictly homosexuals, and they wanted nothing but men. Now, verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now. Will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they worried themselves to find the door. You see, the angels carried the power of God also. They still do. We don't hear much about them today, because very few, there are a few, but there are very few that really believe in them, and them having anything to do with mankind today. But the scripture tells us, like I said, we're going to learn a whole lot by the time we're through this book that we call the Holy Bible. A whole lot more than we know now. They struck them blind. 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. You see, they've been sent to destroy Sodom because of the wickedness. And, you know, we today here in our land have gotten so wicked that really I believe that we are more wicked than Sodom was, because we deal today, I say we, I'm talking about mankind, but God's people don't. But for the most part, of mankind here in our own land don't belong to God. They belong to Satan and this world. And we have all this evil going on to prove that fact. The homosexuality, the abortion, the adultery, the fornication, the murder, and everyone for themselves, caring nothing about others. And you see, when you don't care about others, you don't care about God either. Now, because in being a child of God, others and dealing with others is really what you are all about. Because we are to help bring in the harvest. Now here in 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. The son-in-law is not having anything better. This. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, Lot saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Tell them to get out. Him, his wife, and two daughters, four, out of his whole family. Now, 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They took him out because they know what is getting ready to happen. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Give them ever chance. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. 19. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. You see, he's trying to give them a little bit of an argument here. Behold, here in 20, behold, now this city is near to unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape to it. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. I hear in 24. Lot's in Zoar now. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Rain and fire upon them. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife came back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She would not listen either. So now out of Lot's whole family, there's only him and two daughters left. Disobeying God is a very, very dangerous thing. He knows us all, each and every one of us. He knows what we are going to do and when we will do it. And he knows how he is going to deal with us. What he will let happen and what he wants. We don't know all of that. We do know those of us that will read and study his word, we do know not to disobey him and to walk according to the way he guides us. And we need to continually keep seeking his way. Never stopping seeking for his way, his will, and his guidance for our lives. Because if we do, we're going to miss out on something. Now, 27. And Abraham get up early in the morning in the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Everything destroyed. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Lot and two daughters ended up being the only ones saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah and those plains. Verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. He's moved now into a cave. Think about this. All because he chose to move to a place that was wicked. Didn't say he was wicked. He couldn't have been too wicked, or God wouldn't have saved him. Wouldn't have brought him out. But he was going places where he should not have been. Now 31. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Now we're getting ready to see something else here. And something that mankind today does not understand at all. And they have made things that's not true, even out of it. Now, there in 31, we find where the firstborn said unto the younger, that's his two daughters talking to each other, here, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. In other words, they're wanting children. 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. His two daughters. Thirty-three. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may perceive seed of our father. Now she's talking her younger sister into doing the same thing. They made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. And the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And we've come to the end of chapter 19 now. But we find now that Lot has got children by both of his daughters. Today that wouldn't be acceptable in our land, would it? They call that incest. But the Bible don't. We'll be getting in more about that later on. Now, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south, here in chapter 20, verse 1, south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister. And Amalek, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Because Abraham said, she's my sister. Because he was afraid of being killed. But he's willing to give his life to save himself. But God came to Amalek in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. God is woman, the king. But Amalek had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even in herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, have I done this? He said, I'm innocent. Because I didn't know she was his wife. Because they both told me she was his sister. Now, 6. God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. The Lord said, Yeah, I know. Because I'm the one that kept you from touching. And God knows, you know, that he is innocent because he had not touched her. Because God knows it all. There is nothing that happens here on earth among mankind that God does not know. But we are not robots. And God gave us free will, choice, to choose how we're going to live and who we're going to serve. And it's up to us now to choose. You see, we know that those that are not his will end up in hell and in that lake of fire. We know that. But God is not the one that put them there. They put themselves there by the choice they made while here on this earth, and how they were going to live their lives, whether they was going to live it in obedience unto him and his word, or if they was going to follow the ways of this world and the prince of it, which is Satan. Think about it. Now, find out that God knows that he's innocent. And here's what God tells him here in 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. You don't restore her. You're going to die. Can't be any plainer than that, can you? And he's told you and I the same thing in his word. That if we don't become born again and live according to his word and bring the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit into our lives to give us the strength and the power to do God's will, then we're going to die and end up in that lake of fire eventually. But if we will hearken to his voice, and we will walk according to his word in this book, because you see, this Holy Bible lets us know that we can be what it says we can be. We can say what it wants us to say. And we can do what it says we can do. And now it's in our hands. And we must choose. Now, as we go on here, verse 8, therefore Amalek rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Amalek called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Amalek said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. You tell him why he done it. Because he was afraid. He was afraid they would kill him to get his wife. 12. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place, whether we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. He's letting them know how they had made it up together to explain. Abraham is saying here now that she is his sister. His wife is also his sister. But you see, she's actually a half-sister. She's his sister through his father, but not his mother. Evidently, she had a different mother. Now, 13. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place where we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. Everywhere we go, you proclaim, I am your brother. He is afraid. And Amalek took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Amalek said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. In other words, he just let him go pick out where he wants to live and live there. Do what he wants to do. And he's gave him sheep and oxen. And he's even giving men servants. Now, 15. And Amalek said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. 16. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. He's giving silver on top of everything else. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. Now, 17 and 18, we'll come to the end of chapter 20. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Amalek and his wife and his manservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Amalek because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. While he had her in the house And he closed all of the wombs of the other women that belonged to Ammon, so they could not bear children. Waiting. But then you see, God also, in helping Amalek, kept him from touching Sarah. And now he has healed all, and they now are bearing children. You see, God knows exactly what you are up to and what's on your heart and your mind. So what is it today? What is on your heart and your mind today? For God, or is it for yourself? Most is self. Selfishness. And just what you want. And you're going to do it regardless of what anyone says. But we do have a lot of them out there today that are seeking a different way. They are the ones that we are to reach and to help come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? You see, the Lord God will use every one of us that will walk with him and be his and fulfill his word by living all of it that we understand and by studying to gain more knowledge of it. Because you see, one day when we step out of this life and into the next, the scripture tells us then we will know as we are known, but not until then. Think about that. But you see, most don't think about things that way. They just don't, because they're selfish and they want their own ways. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, may we always give you praise and thanks for the things that you have given us to keep us, Father, from death, from being separated from you, and have given us in our hands knowledge and a way to come home, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity, to serve you always, being yours and of your family. Your word has told us, Father, that the things that Jesus was doing, we could do. Now, Father, We know that the Holy Spirit has your power, works through us, speaks to us, heals through us, and does all things according to your way and your will, and gives us the authority to use the name of Jesus to do these things. It's not us, but we are channels, Father. And we become points of contact for great things to happen. Nothing for us to brag about ourselves, but to raise up the Lord Jesus Christ always with our voice before mankind. Father, for all that will hear this message, may they look into your word to find the answer of what they need and stand upon that promise once it's found and never walk away from it, but continue standing there, agreeing with it, until they see things come about and they have their answer. Those that are in need of healing, healing was given a long time ago at the cross, but we must stand upon it continually, never denying or doubting, but believing, because you see that promise tells us that we are healed by his stripes. Stripes that was put upon his body, the pain he bore, Father, because he couldn't. Now, Father, you know what you want of each one of us. Let us know, Father, and begin working with us to get the work done. And we're seeking for this land of ours to repent and turn from its evil ways, and our government put back upon the foundation that it was on, Father, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for Israel, peace for them, and even more so, Father, that they too will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and come to that saving knowledge, getting into thy word, Father. Because, Father, we have the word because it came through the apostles, the prophets of theirs. Help them, Father, to become a land for Jesus. just as we pray for this land of ours to become a land for Jesus. Be with us now, Father, throughout the remainder of the day. Keep us well, keep us safe, and bring us together again at 6 p.m. this evening. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Take care. Be safe today. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day.